When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, and welcome to Everything is Fine, a podcast for women over 40. We're your hosts. I'm Kim France.
And I'm Jen Romolini.
And Jen, how's it going?
It's going really well. We think we have a great episode for you today. We had some technical difficulties, so we'll see. It might just be this intro if we can't recover this interview. And if not, you're going to have a great interview at the end of this. But before we get into doing anything, we have a large announcement to make.
A very exciting announcement. Yes, we do.
Very exciting. On April 9th in New York City at a place called Caveat. Caveat? Caveat?
Caveat. I don't know how you say
caveat. Caveat. Anyway, at a place called Caveat on Clinton Street, however you pronounce it, we are doing a live show.
Yay.
On Easter Sunday. It is a part 50th birthday celebration, part wedding celebration, part friends and fun. We're going to have special guests. We're going to have some music. And we're going to do a live show. I'm very excited. So please buy tickets to this if you can come in person. The tickets are going to be on the Caveat website. We're also going to live stream the event. So if you can't come in person, there will also be a live stream wherever you are in the world. You can watch this if you want to.
I will mention that it's not a large venue.
No, it's not.
It's a small venue. Mm-mm. So if you are interested, if you can come see it, do come see it, but buy your tickets soon.
April 9th, Easter Sunday. We decided that Easter Sunday was okay. And at 4 p.m., 4 to 5:30. And then afterwards, I think we'll go to a bar. I'm fucking excited.
I'm excited. And I was just thinking to myself, are we just excited and we haven't gotten to the scared part yet? Because surely the scared part is coming.
Oh, the scared part is... Well, it's very presumptuous for us to think that we should take this show onto a stage. I just am not wrapping my head around that because like
it implies a finish we simply don't have.
Exactly. It implies a showmanship.
Yes.
Like when I was texting the venue, they were like, or not texting, when I was like emailing and trying to set this all up, and they were saying, you know, well, what do you need? Do you need light cues? And I was like, sir. just give us a couple of chairs and a mic, we'll be fine. But I'm really excited, and it looks like we're lining up some cool people, all surprises so far. But anyway, April 9th, 4 p.m., Caveat in New York City. I'll put the link in the show notes. Get your tickets now.
Really get your tickets. I'm so excited for this. And I think it's possible we may just be so excited we skip the scared part, because I think I'm just so looking forward to meeting listeners.
Yes.
And putting a face to the anonymous crowd.
I think that I'll be wearing a sequin tuxedo leotard. It's possible. We haven't coordinated outfits yet, but anyway, many weeks to decide. Many weeks to decide on outfits, but I'm believing that, you know, sequins might be my thing. I don't know.
Now,
yet.
Have you settled on the outfit for my wedding that you sent me? Because that is kind of awesome.
I mean, it's coming. It has not arrived yet. It is coming. And we'll see. I mean, I sent it to you and I said, I think that you may see clown, but I see eccentric chic.
And it's somehow, it toes the line.
It toes but the line.
Yes. I think the way I've pictured it, mm-hmm. I've pictured it on you. I've pictured it on how you're going to accessorize. Listeners, this is a green jumpsuit with large black polka dots.
And it's not any green. It is the brightest fucking green.
It is Kelly green. It is Kelly green. I think it's going to work, but I have something else I need to bring up that has been on my mind this week.
Please tell me.
By the time this episode airs, I will have turned 59 years old.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God.
I know. It's big. It's not a big birthday, but it is a big fucking birthday because the next one is 60, which is massive.
Yes, yes.
And my birthday for the last 10 years or so has always made me really sad. Last year was better, but it's not always a great day for me. And I'm sad about getting older, and I'm sad about the time I've wasted. And I'm
Yeah.
I'm happy. I'm like happy this year. It's been a good year, you know?
Yeah, you have really crossed a threshold that I find very inspiring about aging. Like watching you sort of process aging and seeing the difference between where we're both at, like I can tell you're happy and I can tell that you're just like, oh yeah, just more time. Just give me more time. That's what I'm looking for now. More healthy time. And that's really fucking great because nobody tells you that. Nobody says, yeah, well, when you're in your late 50s, you're going to be like, yes, great. This is cool. I don't care anymore.
Yep. That's how I feel.
I know.
That's really how I feel. I think I have a good 20 years of not caring anymore after I turn 60.
Yeah.
And then I think, you know, if I'm lucky enough to live that long, in your 80s, you start getting pissed again. No matter how nice your life is, no matter how full it is, no matter how many people are in it and hobbies you have and interests, as you become capable of less,
yes,
it becomes very overwhelming.
I think so too. I think you're absolutely right. I think it becomes overwhelming. It's annoying. It's just you're agitated because you don't want to be weak because you just want to be, you know, you've been around for so long. You just want to be able to enjoy it. You know what you're doing at that point, right? So speaking of being pissed off, this is something I've been thinking about. I'm curious what you will think. Somebody wrote a comment on one of the social media platforms, which again, I shouldn't read comments, but I do because I respond in, you know, nicely. I engage. I'm a community manager. Somebody wrote a comment saying that the thing that's interesting about the show that we never talk about is that we're both former mean girls.
I didn't see that. I would say I have been mean. There are certainly people out in the world who think like Kim France, not a net positive.
Yeah, sure. Same.
But I don't know if mean girl fits.
That's it. And I was thinking about it because I was really like, I really kind of went through it with this. I was like, wait, was I ever a mean girl? Like I was a bitch, but not like a bully.
Right.
But I don't know. So anyway, so this person was like, that's what makes the show interesting is that these are two reformed mean girls. And I wish they would talk about it more. And I really was like, what is a mean girl? Like I wasn't in click that was like bullying another person.
I think that a mean girl is somebody who gets off on being unkind.
Right.
And I never got off on being unkind. I think that, you know, especially when I was a teenager, I think I did, like when I was in high school, have kind of a reputation for being kind of a bitch, but I was desperately unhappy.
Same, and desperately insecure and desperately hurt.
And it doesn't mean that you can't still hurt people when all those things are true of you. 100% you can.
Yep. Totally. You absolutely can hurt people. But that's sort of like cunty, snotty, like
Exclusionary.
Exclusionary is a big one, right? That's sort of like girl on girl crime, like that sort of like competing with other women in that way. I wasn't necessarily that. I was more like blunt, no filter.
It's like I'm thinking about Aubrey Plaza in White Lotus. She wasn't a mean girl. Mm-mm. She was kind of a bitch.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Right?
My intolerance of bullshit, my just intolerance because I felt so unsafe when people were being phony or you know whatever it was. My intolerance of bullshit made me, but now I'm like, am I making excuses for myself? Was I a mean girl? Did I not realize it? Like, it's an interesting thing to look back on. I mean, I'm not that anymore, so I'm not really worried about it, but it was an interesting take on both of us that somebody's listened to however many episodes of this podcast and been like, yeah, those cunts.
Boy, the people who don't like when you say fuck are really aren't going to like when you say cunt.
Oh God, is cunt? Are we not allowed to say cunt? I love saying cunt. Is that bad? Is it bad?
I've always thought it was like the worst one.
Oh, really? I'm not unaware.
You mean it in the British sense,
yeah,
right?
I was going to say the British people say cunt all the time. I mean, I don't mean it in the British sense. I mean it like a real just fucking bitchy cunt. But anyway, that could be somebody's take on us. Anyway, I thought it was interesting to me. And I was like that. I wonder how Kim would feel about this. Cause I imagined that you had missed it. It was sort of buried.
I wonder if some of it had to do with just having been like our Condé Nast provenance. If just having worked at Condé Nast as editors made us mean girls.
Yeah. I was thinking about my real 3 years there because when I was a plebe in the fact checking department, that didn't do anything to me. But I did sort of change by the end of it. The Condé Nast sort of snottiness wore off on me a little bit by the end. It did. I cared about different things by the end of that than I had coming in, you know?
Right.
I don't think you can avoid it when you're submerged in a world like that.
Yeah, you did one of an act of kindness to me when we were at Condé Nast together that I will always remember. And it wasn't even a big thing, but it was so meaningful to me and I've talked about it before on the podcast, I think, when I had my breakdown and was spirited off to a hospital,
yep.
You left me a voicemail and you just said, you're a good person. I need you to know that you're a good person. And it was like, nobody was saying that to me at the time. Everybody was so mad at me and I had been horrible. There was a reason to be mad at me. I was behaving terribly, but I was also suffering. And I felt like you and maybe two other people in my life saw that suffering.
I saw you. I mean, I saw you from day one. That's a weird thing to be seen because I also knew that you saw me. I mean, I was just writing about this because I had to like bulk up this lucky chapter. It wasn't enough. And what had happened to me was that I had gone to HR when I was a fact checker and they told me I would never be an editor there. Like really just like, you know, Condé Nast period. Like my resume was not going to work. And you saw something in me. You saw me completely. That's a weird thing to see another person. And I did see you and I knew you were a good person. I knew you were in pain. I felt it, you know?
Yeah.
It's strange because you don't get those people that many times in your life. Like you just,
no, you really don't.
You don't, you just don't get it. And you don't get it. You don't get it platonically. You don't get it romantically. And you don't know that until you're like at a certain point where you're like, oh, I threw away some of those that I shouldn't have.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. It's true. And I think I threw away some that were gracious and kind and forgiving enough to like welcome me back when I realized what an idiot I had been.
Totally. Totally, totally. And I threw away some good friends and, you know, I've managed to repair some things in the last couple of years, like, which has felt really, really liberating somehow, like, just like, oh God, this sort of liberation of letting go of all of that guilt and shame and the sort of the burden of like how shitty I was, you know. Let's take a quick break from some ads.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues. your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And we're back. Speaking of friends and new friends, I met Everything Is Fine guest, friend of the pod, Kimberly Harrington in person last weekend.
Awesome.
First time ever, new friend. We wound up, I mean, you just never know when you just have an online friend, if it's going to translate to real life.
Right.
We were supposed to meet for coffee. We wound up having a 6-hour conversation in a coffee shop, which was amazing. And then we liked each other so much that we went out for a second friend date while she was here to see Cocaine Bear.
Which I need to know everything about.
Fucking perfect film. Just...
The cocaine, the bear does cocaine accidentally and goes on a rampage. That's the movie, right?
That's the movie. I mean, it's based on this like weird true story, I think, where some drug movers were accidentally dropped a lot of cocaine in the woods, like from a plane. They meant to like get it somewhere and it got dropped and the person who was supposed to take it somewhere else died or whatever. So it's just all this cocaine, like millions of dollars of bags of cocaine, like loose in the woods. And I don't know that the cocaine bear part of it is true. It is such a perfect movie because it's so dumb. And it knows that it's supposed to be dumb. It never steers too dumb. And it never steers like taking itself too seriously. It's just the perfect, ridiculous lane. And it's so fast paced. It felt like we were in there for 15 minutes. Like it felt like it was just like a bullet went off and then you were done with the movie. It was like a perfect cinematic experience. And also just like shutting off your brain completely to just like have something fun and pleasurable and funny wash over you and absurd.
It's been a really long time. I can't even remember the last movie that I saw like that, but it's the title is brilliant in a way that no movie title has been brilliant since Snakes on a Plane.
Totally. Because it's just like
cocaine bear.
Here's what you're getting. A bear who's on cocaine for an hour and a half or whatever it is. No, it was great. And we went to Alamo Drafthouse and it was, you know, childless afternoon film, a couple of vodkas. I had a bucket of popcorn in my lap. I was just like, this is living. I don't
know. No, Alamo Drafthouse has the right idea. Why didn't more people do that sooner?
I don't know.
It's just such an eating and watching a movie and drinking and watching a movie.
Drinking, eating, sitting in a chair that reclines.
Yes.
Like, it's just like the best. How was your week?
My week's been fine. My week's been fine, really. Everything, you know, I talked to you a little bit before we started taping about this wedding planning.
Oh.
Because my wedding is imminent. It is imminent. It's in April. I'm pretty sure that we figured out who the caterer is going to be today.
Oh my God.
today.
I'm having a panic attack just thinking about this. Oh my God. And no matter how small your fucking wedding is, a wedding is always a nightmare. It just can't not be. It just has to be a pain in the ass.
We're really trying not to make it one. And it's impossible. But I had the thing about this wedding, I talked to this woman because my brother's a photographer and about 70% of what he does is corporate work. But the other 30% is weddings and bar mitzvahs. And he's been doing them since he was in his 20s. Mm-hmm. So there is a woman a planner who he's known that entire time. And he's like, she's great. Just talk to her. She'll figure it out for you. Mm-hmm. And she really did. This woman who's been doing weddings forever, and she made me think about things that like I've been, because I just want this to be like, it's my second wedding. I want it to be chill. I don't want to do anything right. I did the first time. No wedding cake, no first dance, blah, 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 blah.
Right, right.
You know, that I have been undervaluing the meaning of the actual thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that
makes
sense.
Because I just want it to be like, I don't want anybody, I don't want a bridesmaids, I don't want a maid of honor. You know, it's just like, stop trying to be so cool and acknowledge that you're doing something really profound.
Yeah, wow. You know, I was the same way with my second wedding, and I regret so much of it. Like, we didn't have a photographer, you know, because I was like, I don't fucking need a photographer. Like, we're going to City Hall, who gives a shit? We have like 6 pictures from that day.
See, I'm debating whether or not to have a photographer. And I know, like, Todd, my brother, will take pictures during the ceremony and they'll be beautiful. But he's an invited guest. I'm not going to ask him. And he's my brother. I'm not going to ask him to take pictures of the party.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you don't want someone who's like walking around with the camera posing people. Like, you need somebody who's really good at like candid pictures. And are candid pictures fun? Like, Todd has these great pictures in his portfolio of like bar mitzvahs, but they're fun because kids are wacky and antic and running around, and like a bunch of people in their 50s, we're all just going to be standing there with our drink.
Yeah, no, I don't think you need it. I don't think you need it.
And you just said you regretted it, but now you're telling me I don't need it.
No, I regret not having professional photographs of us, you know, being married to each other, walking to the Brooklyn Bridge afterwards. Like, there was my sister-in-law is a musician, and she has band friends. When you're a musician, you just have band friends. So when we walked out of City Hall, there was like a 7-piece band playing for us when we walked out of City Hall, just like, you know, and I don't have any of that documented.
Yeah, that's a drag.
It's a drag.
And it was like, long enough ago that people didn't have use camera phones.
No, there were no, we didn't. I mean, I think we had Blackberries. Like, great. Who wants those fucking pictures? So, I mean, you don't necessarily need it of the reception, but just of those moments.
And she really made me think about those moments. And like, she was, I just keep thinking, like, what's going to be the lowest impact way to have the ceremony? Do we have it before the party?
Yeah.
The day of the party, before the party?
Yeah.
Do we have it the day before at City Hall? And instead she was like, maybe think about what's going to be, and talk to your fiance about what's going to be the most meaningful to the two of you.
Yeah.
And it was such a simple thing to say, but I hadn't, you know, I know that Paul wants to write our own vows. I know that his are going to be 50 million times better than mine. So, by the way, you're going to be editing my vows.
Oh, I challenge accepted.
Because I really feel like to go toe to toe with Paul, I'm going to need like a really highly edited set of vows.
Let me just say something, Kim Frantz. You're no slouch in the writing department, so you know I'm not that worried. You're not.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
But you know what? I always had a really hard time with certain kinds of writing. Like, I never had a very well written profile when I was dating on the apps.
Oh, interesting. Interesting.
Like it was. I didn't know how to write clever like that.
Like pithy little things.
Yeah.
Well, because there's like, you have to have a lack of self-consciousness for that kind of writing, I think.
Yeah.
Because it's you have to steer into the form, which is inherently corny.
Very corny.
And that's not a zone you're comfortable in.
No, it's true.
It's not. No, but I think that's interesting. Like, I'm doing a lot of things for my 50th birthday. And because I'm like, I don't care. I want to celebrate myself. I want to mark this milestone in my life. Mm-hmm. I want this moment to have meaning. You know, I think that we can really get caught up as we get older, like, oh, well, you know, it's like, what, it's whatever, I'm old, or, you know, whatever, I'm getting married a second time. Like, who gives a shit? But it's like, why does it matter less now?
I know. It's really true. It matters more now. It was like, I was young and stupid before. Now I'm like old and wiser.
Yeah. Yeah. Like now I have real friends. Like when I'm in New York that week, two of the nights I'm in New York. So we're going to do our live show. And then, you know, the bookends for me are the live show and your wedding. And in the middle of it, my four best friends from high school are coming to New York, and we're all going to stay in the same hotel. And we're going to hang out for two nights because it's the year that we're all turning 50 and we haven't seen each other in decades.
That's amazing. Are you excited? Are you nervous about that?
I'm just, because we've had enough Zooms now that I'm just excited. Like, I think it's just going to be great. Like, and whatever it is going to be great. Like, I'm just so happy to reconnect with these people and just feel that like old, that person I used to be, you know, like the best parts of that.
Well, and also it's, you know, your old friends, your siblings and your old friends are the only people who were there for everything.
That's right.
You know, they're your institutional history.
That's right.
And there's something so valuable. Like, I'm going away to the Caribbean with my friend Margaret just for a few nights. Mm-hmm. And we were assigned roommates freshman year.
Oh, wow.
You know, she met my father.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's like she, you know, and I knew her parents, you know, and her siblings. And it just, when you have somebody who remembers you, you know, the way you were, and they still, like, you're still able to have, lucky enough to have them in your life. It's really a gift.
It is a gift. It is a gift. And I don't think I always realized that. And going back to the mean girl thing, it wasn't that I was a mean girl. I just felt so awful. Like, I didn't feel sort of worthy of that kind of connection and love, or like that I could show up appropriately, or that I was good enough, or I was a good enough friend. Like, I just always felt like shit. And I don't feel that way anymore.
Yeah, no, me neither. I mean, I always felt like if you know, I had the kind of parent who could make me feel like an idiot for looking up at the sky and saying it was blue. And say, right. How can you not see that it was green? It was just that simple. It was, I felt like I couldn't hurt. I couldn't hurt another person. I could only be hurt.
Yeah.
And so I got very good at like saying shit, you know, and being kind of bitchy and kind of, maybe I was a mean girl, but I don't think I was a mean girl because I didn't get off on it. I think that's an important part of it.
No. And but maybe that's what all mean girls are. Maybe it's always self-protective. I mean, I just am thinking of like, because then of course for me, it like class comes into it. Like, well, I couldn't be a mean girl. I was never rich. Like, it's ridiculous. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, of course I could be a mean girl.
No, it makes me think of that 30 Rock episode where Liz Lemon goes back to high school.
Yes.
And she remembers being abused by everybody. And then when the people see her at the reunion, they're like, you ruined my junior prom.
Yes.
I never thought of the left side of my body the same way once you evaluate it. And you realize she was just, it was exactly that.
Yeah, no. And well, I mean, and that gets into, if we get to air this episode, that gets into the drama triangle of that we're all always playing the victim, the hero, or the villain in all of our story. Like, we're always in our mind, our role is always one of those. And it's probably inaccurate what we think versus what we actually are. Like, you often are the villain, but you think you're the victim. You know, you think you're the hero, but you actually are the villain. I mean, it's always the villain. Maybe we're villains. Maybe we're mean girls. I don't know. All right. Well, either we're going to have an episode after this or not. But if we have an episode, I think that you'll enjoy it. And if not, I hope you enjoyed this half hour intro. Thanks for listening to Everything is Fine. We are your hosts. I'm Jen Romolini.
And I'm Kim France.
If you like the show, please rate and review it on all the platforms. It really makes a difference. We read 5-star reviews sometimes from Apple Podcasts. If you want to support the production of this show and keep the lights on, help us keep the lights on, it's patreon.com/everythingisfine. Throw us a couple of bucks. We do live events there. We blog there sometimes, but really it's just to keep us going. If you want to follow the show on social media, we're on Instagram at EIF Podcast. We're on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. You can find Kim on her blog, girlsofacertainage.com. You can find me on tinyletter.com/Jennifer Romolini. The show is mixed and edited by the wonderful, wonderful Natalie Rivera. Thank you again, Natalie. And we'll be back next week.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.